on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciolillo.
Cody, today is our mailbag episode. Obviously, we really didn't get that many questions. Obviously, the people that did contribute, thank you guys so much for contributing your questions. So the first question that we're going to go to is our number one fan, Campbell. Meet Campbell. I realized that he's our biggest fan. So thank you guys, thank you, man. So the first question that he had, two questions. This is a two part question. First, he asked, "Do you prefer the Purdy style uniforms or the newest uniforms?" And then the second part of the question. Do you think that we will have different main helmets this year or the I-State ones or the Cardinal I-State ones?
I'm trying to take nostalgia out of it. Cause I mean, my main college years were with the Purdy era uniforms. I think I did appreciate the fact that like for the black and white uniforms, there are at least like some silver. Like, so there was some like undertones with that one. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, with the black uniforms now, it's just plain black and white. Like I'm staring at Oreos. So I think certain uniforms were better in the Purdy era than they were in the current uniform era, and then vice versa. But I think I'm gonna lean towards like these uniforms because like I think the current ones because I think the way like maybe it's just me being a little more corporate, but I kind of lean to that right now. But this could easily change. It depends on the day I'm in. But I think I'm trying to recall everything. Purdy style uniforms low key were hitting, but I think I do like the imitation of the new uniforms because I like the white with like the especially the road uniforms.
Yes.
And now we're using like the script cyclones on the helmets. It's beautiful. And I might as well answer the second part as well. With the helmets, I think I would love for Iowa State to lean into something like what Oklahoma State does with their rotation of helmets. I mean, have you seen the amount of like helmets that the Oklahoma State team has used for?
Yes. So, like, I want to get into this for a second because you can use so many different logos. You could use the script cyclones. You could use the Iowa State logo. You could use Twirly Bird, as I like to call them, or Cynado, whatever you want to call it. And then you can use Jack Trice. But I want to see Walking Sigh. Like, I want to see the Walking Sigh on the helmet, dude. Because that would be so, so cool. That's my favorite. That's my favorite iteration. Obviously, you see I'm wearing the Walking Sigh crew neck. Like, that I wear mostly all the time on the show. But, like, that having an iteration, I think I agree with Coach Meat Campbell. Like, I think having a different iteration of the helmets would be have an interesting mix. For me, I guess for me to answer this question, the two-part question, the first part, I would say, I'd say I actually like the Purdy ones more. The Purdy ones, mainly because of that one game. What game was it where they did all red with black helmets?
Wait, yeah. Wait, was it with the chrome?
Yes.
Hold on. Like, all red.
I'm trying to think what game that was, but like, I was like, man, I really, really like that mix-up. I don't know who it was again. Or was that...
That must have been 2018. Rocco.
Or was that Rocco when they did all red and black helmet? I thought Purdy and them did it, but...
Oh, I think it might have been. I think it was... I knew they did it against Texas last year.
Yeah, in 2023, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, when I saw the... Let me see the uniform. Come on.
But I know they did it with Purdy. I'm trying to think which game that was, though.
Yeah.
But I know they did it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you just try to figure out which game they did it. But I mean, God, I'm trying to think of like, but yeah, those two games where we had like the all red uniforms with the black helmet, especially if they were chrome.
Now, if I can incorporate them now, if they can incorporate that, man, especially with them new jerseys, man.
I mean, why not mess around with like different combinations? Like, you just do it in, like, you can do it like in like your practices or something. Like, I think that's just going to be really nice. So, I'm trying to think of like what combinations could you possibly go for here? What's like a new combination that you would love to see Iowa State do with their uniforms now that we have like a pretty expansive.
Now, okay. This might be crazy, and this might like piss some people off, but what if you did another combination of the black jersey, but you did it, you outline everything in cardinal and gold? Like, that's what I want. And you can do red pants with that. You can do all black with that. And you can, and let's say you can make the helmet black with script cyclones in cardinal and gold. You can do the Iowa State in cardinal and gold. Like, there's so many different combinations that I want to see, but that's the one I want to see. If they incorporate the school colors with black, I think more people will be on board, even though it don't really matter. I like the black jersey regardless, but if they were to incorporate that, man, whoo-wee, that will make me want to buy a jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, yeah, this is like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the Niners have done something like this, and I mean, this was like when I first, like, I could see this being a realistic thing for Iowa State.
Yeah.
Like, you can have, like, the black jerseys with, like, a red, like, with red numbers and nameplates, and then maybe even, like, the gold, like, Nike logo here.
Yeah.
The helmets. I mean, if you could possibly, do a helmet, like, I think you can find a way to do a helmet. Like, if you take, like, maybe the, yeah, I'm trying to see if you can do it with, like, the gold that we use. I think it might have to be a different shade, but I mean, if not, then you could just go with, like, I don't know, a white helmet or something.
Yeah.
Or something. Let me see, because I have a friend who is a Arizona Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
And I remember their color rush, and this is what they had.
Yeah, and even something like that. You could have the white helmet with fully red Iowa State logo, or fully red script cyclones. Which is probably what they're gonna do. Like, they're probably going to add another like retro logo this year. I don't know which one it's gonna be, but they're gonna add one. I really, really hope it's either Cynado or Walk. It's probably, I have a feeling it's probably gonna be Walking Side before we see Cynado. But yeah. Like, I'd love to see Walking Side.
Yeah, I mean, I've had both Walking Side and Cynado merch, and I just prefer Walking Side. I don't know what it is. It's the simplicity. Like, I think the like how it works. The walking side just works on just about anything. You can put it on anything and it would work, I think. As well as logos, like, it's perfect enough. Like, it's got that great balance of, like, you could put it on something modern and nobody would notice. Like, it was a retro, like, it aged well. I think that's what it is. I think
it definitely aged well. Like, Cynado is really, like, let's say you get, like, an Iowa State starter jacket. Cynado is very, very 90s. Like,
yes, but, yeah, like the one Halliburton had on when he visited Ames back in March for the Arizona basketball game.
And that one T-shirt that Breece Hall had when he was working out, like that's dope. And then Coach McCampbell also said the same thing for basketball unis, or said what we'll expect next season's updates to look like as they are due for a change according to the Nike deal. This is a very, very good question right here. Yeah, I mean, I sort of expect it to be the same. All I know is that we need to get rid of those all black jerseys. I don't really care for those in basketball.
Yeah, me too. I've realized, like, wait, what? I forgot we even had those now. It's like, I think they try to, like, lean into the football, but I feel like that's something that, like, not needed, because I think it was kind of like you try to manufacture that. It doesn't hit the same.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think if they were to do like, I think the simple like having like the white jerseys, which I really love, the red jerseys are nice, and then the golds have been an upgrade. I think The golds have been okay, I've always thought, but like they got an upgrade this year over last year's, the last few years, the Halliburton era golds. Yeah, the black jerseys, I mean, I would think if you can incorporate, like the red as well and the gold, you could possibly pull it off, but then you would look like Germany. So yeah, just get rid of the black jerseys in basketball.
Yeah.
It works better with certain teams. Like, I mean, what, the Chicago Bulls, like, had, like, their black pinstripe jerseys at one point?
Yep, the black pinstripe ones that wore during their championship runs. Maybe
Iowa State does something like that, I can be on board.
Yeah.
We have, like, the, when you have, like, let me just show it.
Okay.
I think I could get on board if, like, they did something like this.
Yeah, see? Yes. Yeah. Incorporate the Cardinal. Yeah. See, that's what I'm looking for in the next iteration of jersey updates, is incorporating the school colors into the black jerseys. Mainly because the old people, so then the old people will stop complaining about the black jerseys.
That's true. Let me see Well, I wonder if, like, because of the connection to Wisconsin, I wonder if, like, they might take inspiration from
Milwaukee.
Considering, like...
Maybe,
but we'll have to see. But on that note, yeah, jerseys, like, I mean, Iowa State fans, I mean, they're going to be in galore with jerseys. I mean, obviously, I already got the Brock Purdy jersey. Now we're going to probably have to stock up on the Jalen Noll, Jaden Higgins, Texans jerseys. Maybe if I could find a Jalen Travis jersey and a Darren Porter one, that might be added to the collection.
Right, right.
And then who else? I'm going to have to just start doing a giant collection of Cyclone jerseys. So.
And then we just have another set of questions from my boy Mysterio54, otherwise known as Disgruntled White Sox Fan. Thank you for, yes, I know we're both disgruntled because our team sucks, even though they have more wins at this point than last year, but. They still suck. But anyways, there's a basketball question and a football question. I'll have you answer, and then I will. So for basketball, do you anticipate any more transfers? I think we need another big.
I would say no. I think the roster's pretty set. You're about at the end of the academic year, so I don't expect like any more pieces to come in. I think another big would have been like... pretty nice. I mean, if I could just find the current roster and like the size that we have, mm-hmm. because I mean, let's see, because you're returning Jefferson and then Plata along with Mulder and then there's another big I believe that we're gonna have come in as well.
Buchanan.
So having those four bigs, I think nice. And I mean, you could probably shift Milan. I mean, I think the philosophy is Milan is basically a mismatch for anybody that like plays like three, like 1-3, and you could easily put him at the four if you wish to do so.
Right, because he has a post-up game.
Yeah. Yeah, he can not just do the fadeaway, but also he's shown that he can drive into the paint and get like those points in the paint as well. Right. So I'm thinking Milan's going to be a case for like, because Milan's like what, 6'8", 6'9"?
Yep.
He could do just fine. Like, he's a mismatch. Like, just for about anybody on the court 1-5. So I think you could probably flex him as a big if you wish to do so, if you're TJ.
Right, yeah. Flexibility at those positions. I'm in agreement with you on this question. Once again, Mysterio54, thank you for contributing this question. But yeah, I think, yeah, if you're going to have another big, I think, yeah, we're done in the portal. I think, and I believe they also said that we're going to be done in the portal, so. Yeah, I don't really see any other moves going in. And then for football, he asked, who is the starter at running back? Hansen or Sama? I'm going to start off with this question and then you go. I think it really, really depends on what they see when they come back for fall camp. Because, like, they're still high on Abu Sama. And I know Abu Sama got a lot of flack last year. And, you know, he's still also, like, learning the position at the college level. But I think if he can learn how to run north and south, I really do think that he can be a really, really good back in this offense. And with Carson Hansen, like, if Carson Hansen takes takes it by the horns, I think, yes, he can be the starter. Because you saw he had double-digit touchdowns in less than 1,000 yards. So, like, I mean, Carson Hansen has shown that he can be a RB1.
Yeah.
Who do I think we're going to see? I don't know. I don't know if really this really answers your question, but I think we're going to see both of them. So the answer to this question for me is both. What do you think?
I think you're definitely going to see both. Because what? Like, you're just having, like, it's very nice to have, like, the running back room that Iowa State has. Like, you have two guys that are very, very capable of putting up points and getting you big yardage. Obviously, Agustama is more of the home run hitter. Like, you get him into space and he's pretty difficult to chase down. And Carson Hansen, I believe, is a little bit bigger than Sambo, so he can tank a couple, like, a hit. So, like, you can get him, like, in those, like, shorter yardage situations, but even he can explode as well, so you are pretty rich. And then you got, what, Fiora, who saw some action last year, then Dylan Lee.
What's his name? Flora.
Aiden Flora.
Yeah, yep.
And then Dylan Lee. That's a solid, like, I think I saw Dylan Lee. He had some solid, like, play when I saw the spring game last year, so he looks solid. So I'm thinking develops under, like, Abu and Carson Hansen. It's a pretty nice running back room to have. And yeah, I think maybe, like, you'll probably, like, I think it's going to be matchup-based. It's just based on, like, what the defense is presenting to Iowa State. And that's going to be the decision whether to go with Abu or Carson on a particular down or on a particular series.
And I think that's what college football is. You got to have a good stable of running backs. I think unless you have a really, really a running back that's like Cam Skadaboo, I think you're going to see a lot of backfields that are going to have two different types of backs and shifts.
Yeah.
And I think that's just modern football in general.
Unless you have a running back the likes of Ashton Jeanty or Saquon Barkley, then you are going to need, like, multiple running backs, like, just in general. Running backs, like, they take a lot of hits, so, I mean, they're going to be banged up quite a bit, and you don't want to, like, run your running backs to the ground, otherwise they would turn into a negative for you.
Right, exactly. So thank you, everyone, who contributed questions. That was a great discussion.
Man, yeah, so I actually looked up I looked up the roster, and Davion Mitchell's listed at, like, 6'6", so, like, if that's the case, then Xavier Mitchell proves well. He can possibly play at 3, and then you can shift Milano to 4.
Yeah, I mean, this roster is very, very, like, flexible. So there's probably going to be a whole bunch of different combinations that we didn't even think of. Okay, Cody, we got to talk about this. There is a talk about a commission, a college football commission, with President Donald Trump. We're going to, what are we talking about? So there has been a thing in the news, and here, I'll pull up the article and I'll share my screen to have more of a better explanation about what I'm talking about. 1 second.
I think, I see it here. Ross Dellinger put out an article yesterday that, like, the tweet reads, President Donald Trump is making plans to create a presidential commission to study college sports. Source cell Yahoo Sports, a landmark moment in industry history. And it says the commission is charged with finding solutions to the unregulated landscape.
Yep. And then, it basically, because on this, it says, according to a report by Yahoo Sports, President Donald Trump is establishing a collegiate sports commission to address some of college sports' most contentious issues, such as frequent player movement in the transfer portal, whether players should have employment status, unregulated booster payments, enforcing Title IX compliance, and preserving Olympic sports. And also, the other person who's going to be a part of this trio is Cody Campbell, who is a founder of the Matador Club, and he is a billionaire for Texas Tech NIL right now. So these would be the three guys that would run this college football commission. So with that little synopsis of what we read, and I'm looking through it, like, basically, he says that while football players deserve some form of compensation, schools and Power Four conferences and the autonomous four, as he refers to, will over-allocate resources to their biggest moneymaker, causing Olympic sports programs to suffer and eliminating the hopes and dreams of those who viewed NCAA sports as an opportunity for a better future. So basically, it basically is sounding like that they're trying to find, guardrails to this, because it basically has seemed like it's been the wild, wild west in college football right now. And just you've heard stories of people leaving after the semester and still getting their money. Mm-hmm. It's a guardrail that definitely needs to be done. And I actually sort of feel better about this than it being the people that know the sport, like with Nick Saban, because Nick Saban commands everyone's respect in college football. And I have rather would have them in charge of this rather than
someone like
Ted Cruz and Cory Booker.
Ted Cruz and Cory Booker, yeah.
Probably aren't really plugged into sports at all. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just saw this yesterday. I'm just like, yeah, it's about time this thing gets regular because, boy, things are getting really, like, feisty when it comes to, like, NIL. I mean, it's been a controversial topic, like, for, like, the past, like, few years. And now seeing this, I think it's about time that, like, there actually is some sort of, like, law of the land when it comes to this. And it had to come to this. Otherwise, you'd be dealing with a world where, like, you continue to get, like, a disparity between, like, the haves and the have-nots. Like, say, right. Like, your Alabamas, your Ohio States, your Notre Dames of the world, versus, say, like, your Iowa States, your Kansas States.
Right.
And et cetera. And, yeah, just, like, the mass difference in NIL. And, I mean, there's going to be a continued growing gap until, like, the whole bubble explodes on herself, and then we would be back to square one.
Right. And I mean, and then it will be back to original football like it should be. But, like, yeah, man, there needs to be guardrails set up. Don't really care where people, like, stand politically, really. Is this really more of a sports issue? Like, it's just, like, man, like, we can't not, we have to have, like, roadblocks set up for this, man, because we don't want to just have to where it becomes just a super league. Where a lot of people are, that's some of the, like, knockoffs with Nick Saban. A lot of people think that he would only be a believer of the SEC, but a lot of people don't remember that. He started off small. He coached in the MAC. He coached at Toledo. He coached at Navy. His first coaching job, and he played at Kent State. He coached at Kent State. So I think if anybody would, like, care for a little guy, I think it'd be Nick Saban, because he paid his dues before he got to, and then before, you know, when he was at Toledo, then he went to Michigan State, went to the Big Ten, and then when he had success in the NFL. So, like, I mean, I think, and Nick Saban is probably one of the most decorated college football coaches ever, honestly. So I think that he would be a good fit for this role.
And then you got somebody like Cody Campbell, who manages, like, one of the biggest NILs in the country with Texas Tech.
I mean, he also played, too, for Texas Tech, so.
So, yeah, he knows about, like, Texas Tech. Because Texas Tech isn't, like, a traditional powerhouse. Like, their name is, like, they have a decent brand, but they're not, like, the big brand. So, this could be good, but it just comes down to, like, what's, like, the actual goals are for these guys and whatnot. And what, like, the actual goals of, like, this committee or say is.
Yeah, and I'm sure that within the next month or so, or the next coming months, we're going to see and have more details about, like, what is going to entail of this. But, yeah, do you have anything else? Because I really, like, these are, like, the main things I wanted to talk about, but, like, I don't really have anything else, unless you had something else that you wanted to share, because I don't... Those are the main things I had.
Yeah, I think we talked about this off the show, but yesterday there was a settlement that's hanging in the balance relating to media revenue and whatnot, and, like, paying the athletes.
Elaborate more on that.
Yeah, so I have the CBS, like, so
yeah.
Brandon Marcello reported this yesterday, where, like, they had, like, $2.8 billion house versus NCAA settlement hangs in the balance, and this is, like, concerning, like, roster limits and how much, like, is going towards, like, the athletes, whatever. So, saying here, so attorneys, like, so basically, this is concerning, like, because certain, like, conferences kind of know, like, the Big 12, for example, has, like, a cap of, like, what, 20-some million dollars?
Yeah.
Per school, and then, like, the Big 10, the SEC are going to have, like, 35 to 40, somewhere in that ballpark. And also, like, kind of, like, roster limits as well would be implemented for the next years. I think this just Yeah, I mean, it says here, like, schools will be allowed but not required to reinstate players who were cut from rosters during the academic year 2024-25, and then having those roster limits implemented July 1st. So it looks like they are going to, like, so these roster limits are going to, like, be taking effect July 1st, so in the middle of summer camp.
Oh, okay, so it looked like Iowa and Iowa State were being proactive instead of reactive. Because we saw a lot of the players hit the portal big about a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember that mass exodus of players that left. But yeah, so that's good. Because I wasn't sure. I'm like, well, now that we sort of have like a accurate like timeline on that, that's going to be interesting. That's now we know it's going to be right before the season, and now right before fall camp starts. So
yeah, I mean, even says it here, even before the judge's final approval. Schools began to cut players to prepare for the implementation on July 1st.
Right.
So that's what you saw there. Yeah, under the preliminary settlement released in October, football was set to shrink to 105. And this is just like, so this is like some of the context that goes into like this whole lawsuit that was filed by Arizona State swimmer and former women's college basketball players at a Prince seeking lifting restrictions on revenue sharing and media rights revenues. And see here, just talking about like in the events of a decision and whatnot. So there's still a lot that's going on like behind the scenes when it comes to college athletics and just like the wild west that college football is.
Well, hopefully that this means that we're coming to a state of stability. Because I know it just seems like a lot of my friends who I like tailgate with and stuff, and people, and just talking to other Big 12 fans and other college football fans in general, that they were just starting to get like exhausted with all the NIL stuff. Not like being against players getting paid, but just the trend. Like one of the things for me that like sort of like grinds my gears, bro, is just the timing of the transfer portal, because it opens right before the playoff starts, and then you don't stay with your team when you're in the middle of trying to win a championship. Like, that's sort of bogus. And then for basketball, it opens right before March Madness, and you're like, that makes no sense. Or no, sorry, after March Madness, my bad.
I thought it's like when it started. Like, I saw people entering the portal like during like March Madness.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. It was during March Madness. Yeah.
It was like the first weekend, I believe. It was after the first weekend.
Yeah. It makes no sense. They have to change those to like after the season.
Yeah. Cause with football, it's a little difficult considering like the playoffs happen during winter break.
Right.
So that could be like something like that. How it has to be like. I guess, like, you would have to do it where, like, if you're playing on a team that is in the college football playoff, I don't know if this would be, like, too hampering, but, like, you aren't allowed to enter the portal until after your team's last game. I feel like that should make sense that for a lot of teams. Like, you can't enter the portal until your team, specifically, has played their last, like, game. So that means even if, like, if you're playing in the national championship, you cannot enter the portal until after that. Now, you can obviously have plans to enter it, but, like, you can't officially, like, enter or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's just like oversight, but it makes sense to me. It's like, well, you're in the national championship, so why in the world are you? Like, we get why, but it's like don't actually enter. Like, you can't enter until like at least your team has finished playing their last game.
Right, right. And there was one thing. There's one thing that I wanted to show you that I think you're going to be really, really happy about. CBS Sports put out their bowl projections. They're way too early bowl projections for next year. And I think you're going to like where Iowa State is set up. I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to show you the possible places to where they think Iowa State is going to be. So, and look at this. This is going to be what they have as a college football playoff. Rose Bowl. They have Ohio State versus the 8-9 winner. And the Sugar Bowl, they have number 2 Texas against the 7-10 winner. The Orange Bowl in Miami, number 3 Clemson versus the 6-11 winner. And coming in at number 4, the Iowa State Cyclones playing in Arlington. And this would be Arlington for a second time against the 5-12 order. Man, like, this is crazy. Like, it's awesome. Iowa State, like, they have Iowa State winning the Big 12. And then I saw, like, we talked about the way too early top 25 rankings. ESPN actually gave us more respect than On3 did. ESPN has us at number 14 after post-spring rankings. So if you look at that article, they have, Arizona State, or BYU at number 10, Arizona State at number 12, and Iowa State at 14. Three teams in the top 15, and we talked about that a few shows ago. I mean, ESPN showing a lot of respect for the Cyclones.
Yeah, and I mean, those are three, like you mentioned, BYU, Arizona State, Iowa State. All three of those teams were basically, like, along with Colorado, they were, like, the top dogs in the conference. I mean, right. BYU was, like, what, 9-0 prior to, like, they were 9-0. They were looking like a shoe-in for Arlington before Big 12 chaos hit the fan, i.e. Kansas.
Right.
And even after we experienced Kansas, we still managed to rattle off, what was it, three straight wins to go to Arlington. And then Arizona State ran, like, they were the surprise darling of the Big 12 from last to winning the whole thing. It makes sense, like, to have those threes. But I think what, like, that could be key losses for Iowa State, I think a lot of people maybe, like, docking them for, is like the loss of Jalen Nolan, Jaden Higgins, who Iowa State, they did rely a lot on those two wide receivers. So I think some people were thinking, how, like, the questions are going to be, how is Iowa State going to replace the production that Jalen and Jaden had for Iowa State?
I think we're asking the wrong question. I actually think the offense will be fine, because even with, like, I think the fact that we talked about, you know, Rocco and X already having that, you know, rapport, even from playing as kids together, and then Chase Soule just being that guy who can basically catches everything. I think what we should be asking is, can the defense get pressure on the quarterback? I think that's going to be a key to the season.
Yeah.
And another thing that's going to be a key to the season, man, is run defense. The run, I mean, obviously, you know, we had a lot of linebacker injuries, but that run defense was horrid. So I think those are going to be the two keys to this. I think those are the two questions that we should be asking going into the season.
Yeah.
For me.
And yeah, and hopefully with the, like, return of, like, basically the entire linebacking room after being injured and whatnot, I think that should help our run defense, and then getting some pressure too, because now we can run, like, more stunts with, like, our bigger and stronger players. More experienced players too. I think that'll help. And I mean, even then, I think we saw I think with some of the guys we had to play, they did their job. They came in prepared to play. So the fact that we even, like, we ended 11-3 with the bowl win, even with a defense that was held together by duct tape and gorilla glue, I think that just shows, like, the floor that, like, the defense had, even with all those injuries. So You get your healthy linebackers, you get the fully healthy defense with the offense that we had last year, something similar to it. Iowa State would likely be gunning for a playoff spot and winning the conference.
And, you know, a much healthier team, but a much, much tougher schedule. We were beneficiaries of a very, very, a lot of say, people say, an easier schedule. So we'll see how this team fared. I think this team has a heart of a champion. They're a game away. They know they want to win. They want to bring a conference championship to the school. They want to make a playoff. So, I mean, let's see what this team has. I think they have it. Let's see what they got. And, of course, we cannot forget about our sponsor, MyBookie.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, so MyBookie, hockey playoffs are, like, ramping up. The NBA playoffs, if you had money on the New York Knicks these past two games, you were winning big.
Yeah, or the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, yeah, no, you were definitely sweating that those two games, like, the entire, like, series thus far. But, man, you were definitely a happy better after, like, the results you saw. I mean, Halliburton hitting that game-winning three off the offensive rebound, and then Jalen Brunson continuing to be a dagger in the hearts of the Boston Celtics. Do you think, like, I wonder if you trust yourselves to continue to bet, like, for both the Pacers and the Knicks as they get home court advantage this time around? Or do we see what we saw and the road teams, like, continue to win?
We'll have to see, obviously. And you get to decide this, and here's how you do it. You put in you mentioned the Believe in Iowa State podcast when you sign up, and you put in the promo code MM50. That is MM50. And obviously, if you believe in the Knicks and you believe in the Pacers, man, like, you can go and make yourself some money. If you know ball, you can go and make yourself some money with MyBookie. So thank you for being a sponsor, MyBookie. But, man, we got to talk about Tyrese Haliburton to end the show, bro, because he is just on another level ever since his dad got banned from the court. He's gone beast mode, bro. That step back three, that was sick, bro.
Yeah. Dude, there's a whole compilation on Twitter that says every Tyrese shot from Tyrese Haliburton to tie or take the lead in the last 2 minutes this season. You want to guess, like, what his percentage is in those shots?
Probably, like, what, like 70 or 80%?
Try 90%.
Wait, it's 90%?
He's 10 of 11 on the year.
Holy crap!
Yeah. Wait. Okay, so this is from Tyrese Haliburton's Instagram the other day after that. This is funny. bro. He's a fool for that. And speaking of, like, talking about these nuts, like, not even the meat. This photo right here. Wait. Yeah. You want notes? Oh, hold on. Okay, well, hold on. You know what's funny about this?
Okay.
You know what's funny about that celebration?
Yeah.
Donovan Jackson, hold on. Let me see. I knew Brent Bloom put it on his Twitter yesterday. Oh, let me see. But I mean, God damn it. Where is it? Oh, okay, I guess I got to search up Brent.
Go to Bloom's page.
Yeah. So Brent Bloom talked about some Williams and Bloom yesterday, and then as reference, Donovan Jackson, fuck Allen. I saw that celebration of Haliburton. I'm like, I thought of Donovan Jackson instantly, and then I just had to be a little petty. I fear no man.
Okay, I think as a troll in the NBA, I think Haliburton has passed George Niang, dude. I think after these performances and after the man and then that Instagram put, oh yeah, he's a master troller and I love it.
Yeah.
Man,
like, that is, dude, and then, like, obviously when that shot went down, Iowa State Twitter was going all over the place. One of the first comparisons that I think I'll let the GIF speak for itself here. This is from Iowa State Nation. Love this content, but yeah. I love that GIF so much. Like, now from Rocco Beck to Haliburton, like, who's next?
Man, I can't wait for more magical moments in the playoffs. Watching this Pacers run is absolutely great.
It's, you know, it's going to be nuts if the Pacers and the Knicks match up
in the Eastern Conference Finals, please knock on wood.
Knock on wood, but dear God, the toxicity between Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Haliburton.
Because wasn't that a 7-game series last year?
Let me see. Yeah,
I thought it was 6 or 7.
I think it might have been 7.
That's what I thought.
Let me go take a look here. Nope. Wrong season. That's the current season. Yeah, I just remember watching that series as a whole, and I was like, what is going on? No, it was a 7-game series.
Yeah. So, like, I want to see them again. And Boston is literally shooting themselves out of the series. I don't understand, like, why you keep shooting threes if you can't make them. Like,
yeah,
it makes no sense.
Hold on, where's the iconic? There's the photo from yesterday that I saw on Twitter where it's just like, I think it was like, was it fall? It was Friday Beers. Hold on. Dude, you just follow, like, these random, like college pages, like Friday Beers, and, like, they had, like, some, like, the pop culture, whatever. I saw the NBA one. I was like, that is actually a thing of beauty, like the photo. Like, hold on, because I mean, okay, let's see here. I know I'm rambling, but this photo right here, this is a thing of beauty.
I love.
Look at that defense, dude. Look at that defense from. Miles Bridges and OG Anunoby. Speaking of OG Anunoby, I've been on Twitter, and let's just say that for some reason, he got the Jordan Poole effect. He got whatever what Jordan Poole was drinking, and he decided, all right, when the Huzz are at courtside, I got to ball out. So first it was Anne Hathaway, who was a very attractive actor. And then you get Olympic gold medalist Sidney Lee at courtside as well for the Knicks game. And bro was pulling out threes. He was pulling out 360 dunks. He was looking like prime MJ. So I won't be surprised if those two are at Knicks games now. And OG Anunoby decides to just go off like he's prime Michael Jordan.
He sees the honeys in attendance, man. He trying to pull, bro.
Okay, wait. Let's see if I can find this one. Oh, okay. I remember watching the one after Sidney Lee was a courtside. It was hilarious. I just gotta find the correct photo of it because I knew boy was. Yep. All right, here it is. It's blurry, but I mean, let's see.
Yeah.
This one.
What?
Look at my boy. Look at bro.
Yeah,
look at.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Bro locked in. He locked in.
He locked in for sure. Yeah, he locked in, bro.
I have a tweet saved that it's just like a highlight reel of like a Busta Rhymes Mariah Carey song. I gotta send that to you in the DMs, but
baby, give it to me.
Yes, that one. Yeah.
All right. Well, this was a fun episode, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for joining us at the Believe in Iowa State podcast. A few things before we go. We are a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa, nominated by FeedSpot. So thank you guys for joining us on the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Thank you, FeedSpot. Thank you, state of Iowa listeners. Thank you, everybody who listens. Also, if you want to find us on Twitter, Cody can be found on Twitter at Matt Campbell Impersonator. He's an elite meme, a meme fiend. That's what I call him now, meme fiend.
Basically.
Cody.
Basically.
And all of his Braves takes. And then if to find me, I can be found at SciTie Guy. I am now very, very excited after the trade that the Cowboys pulled off of George Pickens. He's a crush, so he's a team cancer. But if he contributes and Dak puts him in line, and it could be a pretty good season for Dallas. But we'll see.
It's something about Jerry Jones and getting guys with questionable character issues.
That's the Jerry Jones way, man. Listen.
He's like, I don't care if you have any character issues. As long as you can play ball, you're on.
Exactly. And lastly, make sure you follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, and also on Twitch now. We also have a Twitch page. It's under My Guy 2019, but I will be officially changing that to Believe in Iowa State, so we will also be on Twitch. So find us on Twitch as well. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vancilo.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.